I pray that you will open our eyes to see you, our minds to know you, and our hearts to really understand what it is you're saying to us today. Amen. Please do sit down. So I wonder who's ever been to a party or a function where you are on the edge. I don't mean you're being excluded or shunned. I'm talking about just being not in the inner core, in the main gang, if you like, but just on the edge. It happened to me a couple of years ago at my brother's 50th birthday. It was a great occasion. Many of his friends were there, and I knew a lot of them. My brother and his partner, a different brother, because I've got three brothers. It was a great party. And even though it was good, and I knew that it was a great party, I knew how important it was for me to be there. I was there to support him rather than being part of the party, if you like. I think if some people looked at the photos afterwards, they would have perhaps said, "Who is that mad woman mum dancing in the corner?" Because I was looking like a bystander. Very often, I think we are often bystanders. Sometimes, even in life, we stand on the side. And I think sometimes that's a little how we look at Joseph. Because how much do we actually know about him? He always appears on our Christmas cards and in our nativity plays and in our cribs, usually standing at the back or leading the donkey with Mary on. We really don't know much about him or hear much about him. We know he was betrothed to Mary. He was a carpenter. And we hear about him at the presentation at the temple. And when the family flee to Egypt, as we hear today. Some scholars have suggested that it's because Joseph was much older than Mary and therefore died before Jesus' ministry began, that we don't hear that much about him. Our reading today focuses a lot on Herod. It's called Holy Innocents Day, but as there's quite a few children here, I thought I perhaps wouldn't concentrate on the bloodthirstiness of that. But I thought it would be really good to have a closer look at Joseph. Herod was doing terrible things, or out of his terrible jealousy and his fear of such a small, innocent baby, Jesus, born in a stable. But he was about to send his... He was about to send his Roman soldiers out to go and kill some of the people. So in our reading, we have Joseph visited by an angel to give him a message from God, telling him to take Mary and Jesus away to Egypt to escape from Herod's plan. The second angel appeared to him to let Joseph know that it was safe to return back to Galilee. Not to Galilee, but to Nazareth. Such brave things for Joseph to do. And if you look at what God had asked him to do, it was, as they say, big stuff. It wasn't small stuff, it was very big stuff. He asked him to marry Mary, even though she was pregnant. Then he asked him to flee with his new wife and baby to another country, as their life was in danger. And on return back to their own country, they couldn't go back to their hometown where they knew everything because it was too dangerous. Joseph really was a brave and very obedient man. And I would say one of great faith. What can we learn from Joseph, I wonder? That God often chooses and uses the most unlikely, unassuming people to carry out his plans, like Joseph and Mary. They were just ordinary people. In fact, all the way through the Bible, God repeats this pattern. There was Moses, and then there was the motley crew Jesus chose as his disciples, fishermen, tax collectors. Then there is Apostle Paul, who at first persecuted the Christians, and then as we hear in all the letters through Romans, he becomes a fervent believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. The second lesson I think we can learn from Joseph is that being obedient and following God's will is not always easy. As Joseph discovered, it is also not what we would probably want to do, really. Joseph was going to just divorce Mary quietly and then get on with his life as a carpenter. He had no idea that he was going to be asked to leave his country and go somewhere else. And that when God uses us as he did Joseph, we really have to put our trust in him, that he knows what he's doing, even if we can't see it at the time. Just as Joseph did as he took Mary to be his wife and became the role of Jesus' legal and earthly father, fled the country and moved to a new district. But what does all this have to say for us today? We need to remember that just as he chooses Joseph, so God can choose us. We may feel that we've already done all that God will ask of us, but he never stops using us to further his kingdom here on earth. Sometimes the things we know God is asking us to do are not easy and can cause us some pain and opposition. When I first realized that God was calling me to the ordained ministry, I was flabbergasted that God could choose someone as ordinary as me. I still don't always believe it now. But I knew it was something I had to do. And even though I hadn't admitted, I wasn't really that keen, because I had to wear robes, had to be able to read everything, had to preach for a start, which I have to tell you, as you saw at the front, when I'm quite emotional, it's quite difficult for me to get my words out. But I knew it was something I had to do. And again recently, I believe God was asking me to do something that was really hard for me, when it dawned on me that I was being called to All Saints. And as the bishop spoke to me, I realised I was going to have to give up being here at St Paul's with all of you and going to be working full-time, well, at All Saints. I'm really, really excited to be going down to All Saints, but the thought of not being here with all of you is quite painful. For I've been part of this family here for nearly 17 years, which you might think is an awfully long time, but it seems to me have gone past in a flash. You have supported me so much through good times and bad. There have been a lot of highs, there have been a lot of lows, as there are in anyone's life. Your prayers and care have always been appreciated by both myself and my family, especially when Ellen was ill, and my mum too. I have loved watching you as a faith community and individuals grow and develop your faith. It has been a great privilege to journey with all sorts of people and to see people getting ordained, like Claire, who's just turned up here today to make me even more nervous. And also to watch Sarah and various other people as they carry on their ministry. It's a bit like when you leave home to go to work or go to uni, or in my case, nursing. This will always be my home, just as your home is always your home. But you will never be there quite the same as you have been there before. You will always have somewhere else to go to perhaps you belong. But being obedient to God is not always the easiest route to take. And then there is the final step of trusting God as we obediently follow his call to us. Again, this isn't easy, and I know I'm really bad at listening and being obedient. I am of the school that sticks her fingers in her ear and sings loudly, so I can't hear what God's telling me to do. And sometimes I even stick my head in the sand, but as we all know, then your backside will get bitten as well. So sometimes it just doesn't work. And it's been hard this time to do this. But God knows the bigger, better picture than we do. To do all this, though, it requires spending time with God, reading and meditating on his words, praying and listening. Because like Joseph, we never know what God is going to call us to do for him. Just as I thought I hadn't heard him properly, when I felt him talking about All Saints. I love All Saints, but I also love you. So it's like I'm being sent off to do something else, You will see me because I'm not leaving, as everyone has told you. And I will be back occasionally, but I will be down at All Saints. It sounds so posh and grown up as associate vicar, because I've only always been Amanda. So thank you all you've done for me and all you've helped me to become as a minister and a person. You are very precious to me, but I'm so excited to be going on. And I just got this book at Christmas, and I'm just going to read you this one last little bit. It says, "We don't know about tomorrow," said the horse. "All we need to know is that we love each other. And I definitely have always felt loved by you. Amen."